I want to ask you tonight if you would join me by turning to 2 Chronicles chapter 14 in your Bibles, and 2 Chronicles, you'll find there, you find 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, then you find 1 and 2 Kings, and then you'll get to the Chronicles, and that'll be 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Before we dive in, just want to again thank you all for being here and being faithful, being in your place to the midweek service. I believe in being thankful for the little things, don't you? Just finding the little things in life that we can marvel at. And Thomas reminded me that the other day as I was taking him to his first day of school. And Thomas is in the second grade this year. And as we're walking down the hall, he looked at me and said, "Daddy," and this is not, you know, this is a phrase you don't typically hear someone say, but he said, "Daddy, it sure is nice to see everybody's mouth." I said, "Amen, buddy. That is nice." And we can't always give that testimony, amen. But nevertheless, they, you know, of course, the masks aren't required right now anyway. That could change at any moment. We all know that. But the public schools. But nevertheless, he had a good point. I said, "That's right, buddy. Enjoy the little things in life and appreciate them and do that." Well, 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Just want to share a thought with you tonight. I hope it'll be an encouragement around the subject of prayer. And if you'll find your place there, 2 Chronicles 14, we'll begin reading here. Now, this would be the fourth king from Solomon and reigning over Judah. And so we're going to read here. It starts off with, "So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And then Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In the days, the land was quiet 10 years. So in other words, there was peace for 10 years. God was blessing. And there's a reason for that. In verse 2, it says, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said unto Judah, 'Let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side.' So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, and out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin the bare shields, and drew bows 280,000, and these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah." In verse 10, "And Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephath at Mareshah." And notice verse 11, which will be our text. "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, 'Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art God. Let not man prevail against thee." I just want to share a thought with you tonight about depending on the Lord. Depending on the Lord. That is what this good king of Israel was demonstrating here in our text. Now, Asa does start off strong, but sadly, he doesn't end well. Here we see total dependence upon the Lord God. But by the end of his life, he makes a choice to depend upon his flesh and his own self. And he depends upon the king of Syria. And God really judges him for that. He gets a disease in his feet and he dies in defeat. But here at the beginning, he demonstrates what it means for God's people to be dependent on the Lord. And by the way, that is really what prayer is it not? Prayer is a demonstration of dependence. I heard one quote, my pastor used to say it often, a day without prayer is a boast against God. And so what we want to do, we want to be people who are dependent upon the Lord God Almighty. I want to follow in the steps of Asa in this context as he saw this army, and he was not just... one of those ideas of, hey, let's just pray and that's all we do. Because there's a problem with that. God expects us to work hard to prepare, to plan, to be vigilant and diligent. You know, God's not going to bless laziness. I know He doesn't bless laziness in my life. It always backfires on me. But here we see they arrayed the army. They got him in line, the chariots, the way that God had blessed them with that. He put it in order and they went to fight. But along with that action, he uttered a complete dependence upon, Lord, we need you. He was facing an intimidating foe. The Ethiopians here, if you break down the numbers, I'm not going to take time to do that, but if you were to take time to break down these numbers, it would almost be double the size of Judah's army. And so he was outnumbered, and so he, of course, is going to depend upon the Lord. But I really appreciate what he said. He said, Lord, it is nothing to thee to help. What does that phrase mean? You find it right there in verse 11. What does he mean by that? He's basically saying, Lord, it's nothing to you. Whether there be a great host in front of us or whether there be just one man in front of us, it does not matter for you, Lord. You are able to defeat the foe. It is nothing for God Almighty to destroy the enemies of our life, whether they be many or whether they be few. And I think we should be reminded something in this text with this truth. Think about this for a moment. God doesn't use the strength of His instruments. He uses the availability of His instruments. I don't have any strength tonight apart from God. Do you? But what God will say is like, okay, God will use is my availability as an instrument, a vessel for Him to use. And that is indeed what Asa is demonstrating here, and I do believe what we demonstrate when we pray. And here in just a moment, we're going to pray. And we're going to say, God, we're here tonight because, Lord, we want to honor You. We love You. We want to see You work in our lives. But, God, we don't have any power apart from Thee. And tonight, God, we humble ourselves and we come to You at this one general location. This one specific location, I should say, here in Jackson County, 6202 Jefferson River Road. We've gathered here for the purpose of saying, God, we need You. Amen. We echo that together. And God loves it when His people do that. He loves it when we come to Him with our weakness, with our needs, with our faith in Him and His power and His will and His benevolence and His grace. I'm thankful that tonight, you know, I'm reminded of Psalm 21:3. Maybe you can jot that down in your notes. Psalm 21:13. Psalm 21:13 says this: "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength." In thine own strength. And it goes on to say, "So will we sing and praise thy power." That's what we want God to do. I think about these needs in our church and the things we're praying over, the people we're praying over, the ministries we're praying over. We are saying, "Lord, be exalted in thine own strength. And Lord, we're going to sing and praise you for the power that you demonstrate. We're not going to take any of the glory." I believe this helps us understand why prayer is so powerful. Why is prayer so powerful? Because it provides an avenue for God to show forth His power. It's a channel. Notice what it says there in the verse again. It says, whether with many or with them that have no power, He says, "Help us." That's a great phrase right there. You ought to underline that. In fact, verse 11, we should all have this verse marked in our Bibles, and we should even write it down in on our hearts, even write it down physically, because this can be a life verse for prayer. Because it says, "Lord, help us," and then He says, "O Lord God," notice these next five words, "for we rest on Thee." And then He says, "We're going to go in Thy name." We're not going in our own name. We are going in the name of the Lord God against this multitude. Now, no doubt we are facing a multitude of needs. I just wonder, I mean, hey, let's just kind of think out loud here. Just use our imaginations. I wonder if we were to count up every need that is represented in this room with every person, how many do you think there would be? Multitude? Absolutely. There is a multitude of needs in my life, in your life, and we go against them. How do we go against them? We go against them saying, "Lord, help us." We go against them saying, "Lord, we rest upon Thee." We go towards them, and in them, "Lord, we go in Your name. Because, Lord, this life is not about me. These needs being met, it's not about me. This is about Your name. And, Lord God, Your glory." And he prays, "Let not man prevail against Thee." What a wonderful prayer. And that's what I'm thinking we're going to pray tonight as we go our separate ways. Men, as we go down and pray, ladies here, let's pray that God's will, God's way will prevail in this church, and that His way and His will prevail in this community. We want to see the gospel go forth. And we want to see our Savior honored and glorified. So I hope that you will let this thought motivate you tonight as we go together in prayer. I hope you'll mark it in your Bible and even think about memorizing it and meditate upon these truths. And we're going to see, you're going to see as you continue to read, I'm not going to go into it tonight, but God gave them a great victory over the Ethiopians. They were overthrown. And the Lord showed Himself strong and faithful to Asa. He is dependable. He is trustworthy. What are you facing tonight, friend? What are your multitudes? The Lord, He can be trusted. Let's go to Him in prayer tonight.